Welcome to the Staying Free podcast. In this episode, you've just got me to listen to because I decided to do another episode just to share my thoughts on something I come across on Twitter, which is a post by Stack Hodler, all about stepping off the fiat treadmill and actually living a life in pursuit of true freedom and not the false and manufactured idea of freedom, or I should probably say success in inverted commas, which is prescribed to us by the old world, which I think that on a collective level, we're ready to leave behind, or at least I hope we are. If you enjoy this one, then make sure you give it a like and a share on social media. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, make sure you give it a 5-star review in whichever podcast app you're using. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do that in a few ways. Check the description for those. And if you're not listening on Fountain already, make sure you go and check out the podcast on the Fountain app, which will allow you to stream sats as you listen. And you can also leave boosts there, like this one from Piers, who boosted 420 sats saying, "Thank you, gentlemen." Thank you, Piers. And I also got a boost from user 76728245, who boosted 500 sats. With that message, well, thank you for that donation, anonymous Fountain user. All right, I won't bore you anymore with this intro. I hope you enjoy this. Should I call it a rant? Let's call it a meditation on this post by Stack Hodler. All right, so this will be the second of my monologue episodes of the Staying Free podcast. And I wanted to share with you something that I read on Twitter, and I just wanted to kind of give my thoughts about it because I personally think that this has a lot of value, and it kind of articulates a mindset that I think I've had for quite a long time, but maybe I haven't heard it expressed in such a concise way or such a direct way. So I want to share with you what I came across, which was a post on Twitter, and then just give some of my own thoughts about it as well. So the original post was by Stack Hodler, and his handle is Stack Hodler, S-T-A-C-K-H-O-D-L-E-R. If you guys want to go and follow him, he has some really good posts out there. So I'll dive right into the post and then give some of my own thoughts as well. Your flex isn't a flex. No one cares about your car or your bigwig job title or your watch. I was just in a room full of C-suite execs from Fortune 500 companies, people that have reached the pinnacle of traditional success, but they aren't in control of their time. Most of them completely miss their children growing up. Many of them are unhealthy, and few of them know how to enjoy life, because they have spent their lives focused on the next rung of the corporate ladder, conditioning themselves to live for someday, which will never arrive. In their defense, when they started their careers decades ago, it was a lot harder to achieve a high quality of life outside of the big corporate setting. But now the status symbols they aimed at, the title, the big house, etc., have lost value. The new status symbols are control over your time, control over where you work, freedom to watch your children grow up, ability for your spouse to stay home, ability to travel whenever you want, a fit body and a healthy mind. Just like the old status symbols, nobody really cares whether you achieve these things, but your family will, and that's what matters most. So how to get these things? We live in an age of incredible opportunity. The opportunities for individuals and small teams to build wealth via business have never been greater. You no longer need to slave away in the office for decades to bank 10 plus million. Traditional media used to monopolize the power to influence. Today, that power has been decentralized by platforms like X. Similarly, corporate influence has lost ground to individual influence. Authentic individuals are the brands that people now trust, and people will always prefer to buy from brands that they trust. This is an opportunity for those who recognize it and act upon it. That alone should make you optimistic. But what if you don't want to start a business? You can still get there by choosing to save in Bitcoin. Families that have adopted a Bitcoin standard for their savings have seen dramatic increases in living standards compared to people who save in assets like the S&P 500. For every Lambo flaunting crypto scammer, there are probably 1,000 plus families spending more time together because of Bitcoin. And at the end of the day, that's the only status symbol that really has any substance. So I've included the second part there, but I didn't really want to dwell too much on that because this isn't an episode about Bitcoin. This is an episode about freedom. And I really want to focus on the first half of what Stack Hodler is saying here. So I want to dive into this by starting with my own journey of how I've been able to build a life of freedom. And when I talk about freedom, I'm talking about it in a relative sense. You know, I'm not suggesting here that I'm more free than someone who is, for example, living off-grid on their own land and, you know, not having to pay taxes and not having to go to work and being able to grow all their own food, etc. There are obviously gradients to freedom. But, you know, I have definitely been able to build a life of freedom relative to the average person. But the thing I want to dwell on here is that I kind of went through a process at a certain point in my life when I realized that the things that we're supposed to supposedly aspire towards, the things that society tells us to aspire towards, often are the exact polar opposite things than what's actually going to make us free. So if you go to school, they're going to tell you to get a traditional 9-to-5 job and to save money and to put that money in the bank or put it into maybe a, at best, an investment portfolio that's going to you know, give you returns that are likely to be lower than inflation. Obviously, your spouse as well is supposed to get a job because, you know, we're supposed to accept these days that it's impossible for one person to work and to live on a single income. And then when you finish school, you go into the working world. And the next step on the ladder you're supposed to climb is that you're expected to get a mortgage. And to do that, first of all, you're going to take out a load of debt. And you're not supposed to worry too much about the debt as long as you've got the house, because the house price is obviously always going to go up. And that's just going to continue forever. And all of this is actually quite an alluring concept. You know, we are tribal creatures and we look around to those who are doing things around us and we say, okay, I need to be doing those things as well. You know, so we look around to our peers and we say, ah, they've got on the housing ladder. I need to get on the housing ladder now. Or we look to our colleagues perhaps and say, oh, well, they've just got the promotion. So, you know, I need to get the promotion. I need to get on that next rung of the corporate ladder. And we never actually really stop to question, okay, first of all, is this what I want? Is this what I truly want? And second of all, even for other people who do seek out those things, is it actually bringing them closer to some concept of freedom? I mean, you might have the house, but you also have all the debt to go with it. You might have the job, but that job comes at a risk of you could be fired overnight. If you only have one source of income, you know, if you are employed by somebody, that puts you into a risky position. You know, if you lose that job, then all of your freedom's gone. So going back to the post by Stack Hodler for a second, let's dissect this, you know, bit by bit here. So the first section is your flex isn't a flex. No one cares about your car or your big wig job title or your watch. I mean, that straight away hits to the root of the problem with a lot of society, which is that you're just chasing these things which make them on the surface look as if they have some kind of status. You know, wearing the nice suit, having the nice watch, having the nice car, all of these things. I mean, so many people who drive cars now, they're on finance. They're not even owned cars. You don't even own that outright. You know, you are indebted to somebody in order to have that. Okay, you might have the nice suit and you might have the nice watch, but you have to go into a job every single day and you have to give your time to that person who is able to fire you at any time that they want or reduce your wages, and you are dependent upon them. And then this ties quite neatly into the next bit, which is people have reached the pinnacle of traditional success, but they aren't in control of their time. And I think this is a real, real key one that I've learned in my life, which is that most people are just not in control of their own time. I mean, there's nothing more precious than your time. Because how you spend your time in this world is not a matter of, oh, you know, I want to have an extra line in the morning or I want to take Fridays off. It's much deeper than that. I mean, your time is basically linked to everything that you do, you know, whether it's pursuing an interest that you really care about or whether it's learning about something like nutrition to keep yourself healthy or doing exercise. You know, all of these things are tied to your time. And when you are giving away, you know, 8, 10, 12, in some cases, hours of your day, every day to a job, you're unable to exercise many of these other freedoms which should be afforded to you. I mean, these are things that we shouldn't be giving up at all. And I feel like we have kind of sleepwalked into a situation where that's become normalized, when people just say, okay, well, I just have to write out 8, 10, 12 hours of my day every day and I'll do my own things. I'll have my freedom outside of that time. And I think that's an acceptable compromise, which we shouldn't be willing to do. And again, going back to the post, many of them completely miss their children growing up. Many of them are unhealthy and few of them know how to enjoy life because they have spent their lives focused on the next rung of the corporate ladder. I think this is absolutely true, and it's just a very, very sad thing to witness, which is that most people sacrifice their time and their energy to try and keep up with this kind of hedonic treadmill of where you're supposed to be in society. And it's not as though the society you're sacrificing your time for is even worthy of that sacrifice. We're talking about a society where most people are unhealthy, in debt, don't see enough of their loved ones, and don't enjoy enough of the things in life which make life really worth living. I mean, what good is it having the big house if you hardly ever in it? You know, what good is it having the really expensive car when you're only using that car stuck in congested roads on the commute to work? I mean, we've basically traded the real thing, the real essence of life, for these falsehoods or these kind of illusions. And I think that this is one of the big turning points that we're having in society, is that people are finally starting to recognize, okay, what's real and what's the bullshit? You know, there is so much bullshit out there, whether it's bullshit jobs or whether it's the bullshit things that we own to tell people that, you know, we're living a quote-unquote good life. There's just so many things that are kind of faked. And I guess if you look at this on a generational level, you know, not to be disparaging to boomers, but this was kind of the boomers thing. You know, the boomers wanted to kind of project affluence out into the world, and they were willing to give up some freedoms in order to have that. And for them, it might have actually been worth it. You know, I mean, boomers did pretty well. Like, you know, they've got good retirements, they've got nice houses, they've kind of never, you know, been through like too much war or, you know, too much crazy inflation, etc. Like for them, it might have been a good trade-off. But for people who aren't in that category, for people who are having their savings inflated away by, you know, 18-20% a year, and who are underemployed, and obviously not to mention the past few years where you are literally just having your rights completely stripped of you by governments who you're expected to be loyal to by being a good employee and a hard worker, and also, you know, being a good consumer and paying your taxes and all of these kind of things. Okay, so maybe boomers got a better deal out of that, but that's not the case anymore. You know, you have to be willing to recognize when society has changed and to see whether you are actually getting a good deal out of it. And I think for most people, the answer is no, they're not getting a good deal out of it. So going back to the post once again, the new status symbols are control over your time, control over where you work, freedom to watch your children grow up, ability for your spouse to stay home, ability to travel wherever you want, a fit body and a healthy mind. And I mean, that really does sum it up. So there's not too much to add to that, other than I think that people have kind of lost a connection with what life is really about. And the only thing that I can see as being a reason that people would forego these things just mentioned here and choose some form of servitude in replacement is because they're unwilling to go against what the normal or expected thing to do is. And I think that some people, you know, hopefully none of the people listening to this, but some people might just think, well, all of these things, you know, they're idealistic. You know, this is just some kind of ideal that, you know, you have to be a certain type of person, or you have to have a certain amount of money or a certain level of, I guess, skill set or something to that effect in order to have these things. And I don't think that's true at all. I think that the reason that we are propagandized so much to accept, you know, going and doing the 9-to-5 and just being a good citizen, I think a big part of that reason is because people actually will find success out of it if they believe in themselves and they actually work hard to achieve it. I don't think it's that hard to do. And I mean, just to touch on my own journey, I left the UK in 2018 and I went traveling, and I had a lot of time to think on that journey about what it was that I wanted. And I know that many think that, you know, things like going and traveling is just a middle-class luxury, but I genuinely think that it can help a lot of people to actually kind of come back into touch with, you know, their true nature, or their, in my opinion, their natural state of kind of being free. You know, during that time, I met people who were basically, you know, living in tribal villages and things like that, but they were far more free than people that I'd been brushing shoulders with only a few months ago in the city of London. You know, they owned their own businesses, they homeschooled their children, they spent time with their families, they grew their own food, all of these kind of things. Now, yes, they didn't have much money, but they had a huge, huge amount of freedom. And I'm not suggesting that we try to emulate the way that people live in places like Vietnam, but I do think there are some lessons to be taken from that, at least in terms of truly putting a value on freedom. I actually remember a conversation with someone that I had in Laos, and this person ran a little restaurant right by a river. And actually, when we turned up to go and get food there, they went out to buy all of the every single ingredient to come back and make the food. That's how kind of laid back this community was. They had an open restaurant, but they needed to go out to buy the ingredients from the local market in order to come back and then make it, which really is about as laid back as it gets. But anyway, I said to this person who ran the restaurant, you know, where I was from, and that I, you know, used to work in London, and I said to them, you know, would you want to visit there if you could visit? And he said no. And I was really kind of taken back, because I think that even up to that point, I was under this illusion that the third world, you know, quote unquote, or the developing world aspired to be like what the West is like, you know, that they all want to, you know, earn lots of money and live in nice apartments and stuff. And it's not true at all. In my opinion, that's just part of the propaganda that we're fed to make people in those Western countries believe, ah, like, we need to keep doing this. You know, we're on the right track. We're on this trajectory towards progression on a kind of civilizational level and also on a personal level. But actually, it's not true. People who are living in the developing world, they might have less money, they might have less resources, they might even have a lower life expectancy, but they are in many cases much more free. And again, I'm not saying that we should just adopt all of these values, but I think everyone needs to assess individually, like, what does that freedom look like for you? For me personally, I've felt for a very long time that being able to travel and live where I want and kind of explore and really nurture that side of me that has an ambition to explore, that's important to me. You know, I've got friends all over the world and spent kind of the last 6 months to a year just hopping around to various weddings. And I'm so grateful that I'm actually able to do that. And I find it sad that there's a lot of people who would say, okay, well, all I get is, you know, 2 weeks a year. So maybe I can go to one of the weddings, or maybe I can, you know, go to one of the christenings, or maybe I can go to one of the Christmases or whatever it is. Like, that's not freedom. And I'm not suggesting that we all have to have the level of freedom where every single day of the year, okay, you can go wherever you want and you can just hop on a flight. No, of course, that is a luxury only afforded to the few. But most people accept it on one end of the spectrum. And I'm not saying it has to be necessarily the entire other end of the spectrum. I think it should be somewhere in the middle. I think that we should be able to not feel like we are being restricted from the things that really make us human. You know, spending time with family, spending time with friends, travel, and pursuing our hobbies, pursuing our passions, learning, reading, exercising, growing food, whatever it is that lights you up. And I just want to end this on a message for people who maybe were in the position that I was in not too long ago when I felt kind of trapped. I felt like I wasn't living a full life and I was constantly having to make compromises on what my soul really wanted to do. And I think that the first thing to try and escape that condition is to just have a general belief in yourself that your drive that's inside of you actually is enough to see you over that hurdle or see you over that bridge to the other side where there is more freedom in your life. For some people, that calling is very, very strong. And for some people, that's a bit more weak. But I think that the more that you go into it, the more that you're willing to kind of open your mind to living differently and not following the voice of society, which is very loud. I mean, you know, that voice isn't just coming through governments and media, but it's often coming from friends and family and all the rest of it. And part of that, by the way, is because I think that a lot of people don't like to see people living differently and kind of get a bit triggered by that. They think that it's a reflection on themselves. I've definitely noticed this in my life, which is that when you do make personal achievements, whether that's starting a freelance career or starting a business or going traveling or whatever it might be that, you know, for you is a achievement in freedom, people don't tend to celebrate those things. So definitely don't expect that to be celebrated or appreciated by any other social group. So yeah, the current is strong. The current is strong pulling in a certain direction and you have to be willing to break that. And I think that can happen by small and gradual steps. And maybe that's initially listening to podcasts or reading books or joining network groups or whatever it is to try to mix with people who do value freedom. The way that society should progress, if we were really living in a sane society and we subscribe to ideas such as Austrian economics and these kind of things, which will always steer society towards more progress because there is actually a cost to expenditure and true market signals. And in a real functioning economy, there will be no expenditure which does not have some kind of a efficiency saving or some kind of a measurable improvement in terms of a societal impact. But anyway, we obviously don't live under that system, at least from a political level, but you can find that in your own life. We can, in our own lives, do value assessments to say, what are the things that is going to make me more free? What's the things that are going to make me more prosperous? And when you find those hurdles, like you say, oh, well, you know, I can't put money in the bank because my money just goes down in value. Rather than saying, I'm going to take society's prescription for this, which is to, you know, put money in a pension, which you're probably never going to actually see the value of, or I'm going to take out a load of debt and buy a property and just hope that that keeps going up in value. Rather than taking these kind of blue pill answers, is to actually do a bit of digging. You know, the internet is an amazing tool where we can communicate and we can learn and we can connect and we can do all these things that don't really have to be articulated here because I think most people know this. But even though society might be operating under a Keynesian standard, there are still ways that you can kind of escape that in your own life. You just got to identify the things around you that are of real value and go into those things and leave behind the illusions. And I think this is the key process that the individual has to go on. So outside all of the kind of minutia of the individual choices that we make, it's all about saying, okay, what are the things that really bring me value in my own life? What are the things that I can do today that's going to give me more optionality in the future? Because even though society has gone so far down this path of kind of fiat bullshit, you know, get the expensive thing, take out a bunch of debt and keep climbing the corporate ladder, there are still so many ways out there to get more free. There's incredible technologies like the internet, which have allowed people to access information, which previously was a scarce resource. And now information is an absolutely abundant resource. And that is the foundational pillar for getting free. Whatever that thing is that's preventing you from being more free right now, the internet will help you get close to that solution. Whether that's starting a new job, whether that's learning how to become an entrepreneur, whether that's learning a new skill, whether that's learning to be a freelancer or to be an entrepreneur, or using tools online that are going to enable you to spend less time or resources and to have more optionality in the future. Even if that's using the internet to find a place that you can go that's going to give you a better quality of life and free up more of your time and make you more free, depending on your circumstances. You know, maybe you work remotely and you want to move somewhere more rural that you have a lower cost of living and that you can keep more money at the end of it. And maybe that allows you to work less. These are things that have been really empowered by the internet. You know, the internet really does hold the keys to so many of these things. And I'll briefly touch here on AI because even though it's something I haven't talked too much about in the podcast, I think that AI is the next arrow in the quiver in terms of a tool that can be used for self-sovereignty. I mean, if you really wanted, you could go on the internet, you could find out how to buy a house. You could use the internet to find the cheapest materials in order to build that house. You could use the internet to find some land that might be the cheapest land that you can get in the area, which you also find out which is the cheapest area you can get that. And then you can start building towards that future, that real self-sovereign future. These are things that haven't been available to us before. You know, we didn't used to have this. So as much as yes, we do have a lot of conversations now about people becoming less sovereign and more dependent on the state, the internet has actually made that much easier to exit. It's just that we haven't necessarily got the personal fortitude to go in that direction. So I think there's so much to be positive about, and I will probably go a little bit more in the future into kind of more of my personal journey. Obviously, if people actually care to hear about it, you know, leave me a boost, leave me a comment or whatever, and I will share a bit more of how I have personally built more of a life of freedom. But for anyone who is in the situation right now who feels despondent and feels that they are not living a life of optimum freedom, I would just say it's never been easier than it is right now. It is possible. And the most important and first step is to have a belief in yourself and to kind of switch off all of this noise going on that's telling you that you have to stay in the 9-to-5 and that that's the only way to live. I can tell you for sure, based on my own experience, it just takes a willingness to do something which I talked about in my last monologue episode, which is follow your own compass. You know, actually explore your own desires and your own passions. And as I said, get excited about and use the tools that are afforded to us to live a life of more freedom. Okay, I'm going to leave this one here. I think I've ranted long enough on this topic. So let me know your thoughts. Let me know what you think about all this. My last one did go down pretty well, it seems. You know, people seem to get some value of it. So I hope you got value of this one as well. Thank you to Stack Hodler for this post that's kind of inspired this one. His Twitter is @StackHodler, StackHodler. I'll put a link to his post in the description so that you guys can check it out and share it if you'd like. And yeah, thanks for listening. If anyone wants to get in touch, feel free to reach out, and I'll see you in the next one.